Hey everybody, Quinn Tempest here, and thank you so much for tuning in. And welcome to what I think might be the first, we'll see, of the Create Your Purpose Conversations. I'd love to hear from you after you listen to this episode. What do you think? Do you like this idea? Would you tune in regularly? And maybe I could just fill you in on a little bit about the background on this. So I'm the founder of Create Your Purpose, which is really a lifelong mission that I have to empower women to build purposeful and profitable businesses. Because I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think we can feel fulfilled in our work and we can also make money doing that. And so what I wanted to do and what I have found so helpful in my own journey as an entrepreneur over the past decade, oh my God, I'm old, is hearing stories of other women, of seeing where I can grow into and to really look up to people who have either been in the places I've been in, been challenged by the things I'm challenged by, or are even giving me example of what I can reach towards. I think inspiration is really a fuel for purpose. It helps us think bigger, dream bigger, come up with ideas that maybe we wouldn't have thought of otherwise. And so that's really the goal with this, is just to introduce you to some inspiring women. Some of them are members of my Create Your Purpose Collective, and maybe some of them, if you like this series, I'll start inviting other people too. And then maybe I'll sprinkle in some other things that are just me, it's kind of a solo talking and giving ideas about how do you create your purpose? How do you build an intentional business? And how does that sparkle kind of trickle out into your life? That's the question I'm hoping to explore, is just how can we be more purposeful in what we do and make some magic along the way. So I'm excited to introduce you to one of the members of my Create Your Purpose Collective. Her name is Sherilyn Yazzie, and she is a Navajo living in Northern Arizona, and she is the owner and founder of Coffee Pot Farms. Now, if you're thinking they grow coffee, like I first did when I heard this, you would be wrong, but they do grow non-GMO produce for the native people on the reservation. And Sherilyn is such an inspiration to me because she really proves that purpose-driven entrepreneurs come in all different forms. There's farmers, there are marketing strategists, there's yoga therapists, and we're all connected, whether we are in other parts of the world or in diverse industries, by this common goal of just being more purposeful. And Sherilyn is a perfect example of that. You know, you don't see a lot of farmers on social media, but that's been a really big part of her business to spread her message and to give more access to fresh food to people, native people that don't get that. You know, I think she said the furthest grocery store with great produce is an hour away from her. And even then, there's just wilted onions. So she decided to turn her grandparents' land into a greenhouse and a farm. And I'm just so inspired by her mission and all the layers of it. And so I wanted to sit down and just introduce her to you, to ask her some questions about her business, her purpose, and really how does she get to be an entrepreneur? I think that's the most interesting thing of all. So enjoy this conversation, this Create Your Purpose conversation, and I hope you let me know, what do you think? Do you like this? Should I keep doing it? I'm totally open, and I'll be honest, I'm again sitting here on my bathtub, and that is how I actually recorded this podcast too, because we're living in a pandemic, and my husband right now, for some reason, was like shouting out pasta names on his Zoom call with his coworkers, which is pretty par for the course in the Tempest family household, and I had to come into my bathroom to record this because there's no other place to go. We live in an open loft and sound carries, so I just want to let you know that for me, it's not easy to put things out there that don't feel perfect. I am a recovering perfectionist, as always, and so welcome to my bathtub. The rest of the podcast is recorded in my bathtub. But you know, I didn't want that to hold me back from putting something out there that I think is meaningful and to introduce you to someone that I think that I know you should know and that you should meet. So I want to introduce you to Sherilyn Yazzie, and thank you for tuning in to the Create Your Purpose Conversations.
Well, hello, everyone. everybody. Thank you so much for joining for this Create Your Purpose Conversations. I'm very excited. This is the first one that we've ever recorded, although I used to do an interview series many years ago. This is like the new incarnation. So I'm very thankful that Sherilyn Yazzi is here with me. She is the founder of Coffee Pot Farms here in Arizona. Yeah. And she reminded me right before we hopped on that it's a really historic day with Deb Haaland. I think I said that right. Haaland, who is the first Native American woman to be part of the cabinet. She's in her confirmation hearing right now in the Senate. So hi, Sherilyn. Let us know, how did you get started with Coffee Pot Farms? And please tell us about why it's named that. Because I remember I first thought it was coffee, but then I realized you can't really grow coffee in Arizona, but it's named after something else.
So good morning, everybody. My name is Sherilyn Yazzi, and I'm Navajo from Northern Arizona in a small community called Delcon. And I am, my farm is called Coffee Pot Farms because in our community, we have these volcanic buttes. And one of our volcanic buttes that's close to us kind of resembles one of those cowboy coffee pots. And so that's what my dad calls it. And that's kind of just where it came from, is Coffee Pot Farms. So I do like the name of it. And then, you know, every morning, everybody's got to get their coffee. And so, you know, we love our coffee here too. But unfortunately, we don't grow coffee. I wish we could, but it grows more in the tropical region. So boo. But that's how we got started. In my previous job, I was in public health, in nutrition public health programs. And so I did a lot of program managing, grant writing, educating children and adults about, you know, how to eat healthy. And it was a really good job because I got to be around kids all the time and get to teach them. And it was fun. But some of the things that, you know, as I was kind of getting into this more and we were asked to do more harder things in the community in terms of policy work or system changes, environment changes, it was harder because as a person, even though I'm from this community and you're trying to bring in something, a program or change something, it didn't come from the actual community people. And so, for example, you know, trying to teach kids how to eat healthy, but, you know, it was like we have 13 grocery stores on our reservation. And if you're lucky enough, maybe you have a convenience store, a gas station, but when you go inside, there's not a lot of healthy produce. You know, there's a few onions in there, maybe a few wilted iceberg lettuce heads. And so it didn't feel right for me to be doing this the way I was doing the job. And so it was really asking myself, well, what would need to happen to do that? What needs to change? What do I need to be doing differently? And my grandparents, you know, they both raise animals. And they had cornfields. And so one of the things is maybe thinking, how do I do that in a bigger way for the community? What does that look like? And you know, in Navajo, we have a lot of land, but why are we not doing that in a serious way to where everybody's growing food? And so then I was like, okay, I could do my same, you know, hat from public health, but moving over and shifting and changing and like, okay, I'm going to be a farmer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to figure this out. I want to know why it's hard to do this. And I want to know, you know, how to help my community from the perspective of actually providing healthy foods to them.
I'm fascinated too by your transition from the position with the Navajo County to being an entrepreneur. I mean, was that scary? Was that a huge jump? Did you have to plan for it? And also, like, there seems to be a common thread. Like, you were still working to advise the community about healthy eating, but then you switched kind of the expression of that deeper why into actually growing the food. So I'd love to just hear, how did that transition go? And did you clearly see that connection at the time, or did it happen later?
It was scary. It really was, because I've not really grown food the way my grandparents did. So they did a lot of herding sheep, raising cattle, growing in a dry land farm, you know, in the cornfield. And the part that was hard is that the policy piece, how to access these things on our reservation, there's a lot of pieces to that. And that's why, like, for today, the historical day for Deb Holland, you know, that's important to Native people, because we are all under that. All these policies are under that. And that's, I think, one reason why it's hard for us to get access to land and to water. So I feel like I was doing what I'm supposed to do. I mean, a lot of my background in public health and nutrition, it was like kind of the same. But the part that was different is then I had to learn a new way of growing, because now we have like major drought issues. You know, there's like the climate's changing. Policies are, you know, put in place. And so working on smaller pieces of land, and then also the issue of not having enough access to water to be able to grow more food. And then on top of it is like, okay, well, how do you grow in that way? And so I was really trying to look for, it was like going to have to be a shift, a change, that pivot that, you know, that happened with a lot of businesses last year during the pandemic. But it's like, I think the pivot had to happen, because it's like, all right, I'm in this box, and how do I do this? And so from the get-go, it was like, I'm going to have to grow in non-traditional ways, because I don't have the access to the cornfield without, I guess, the proper approvals, without the water. So that's going to have to wait in the future for as another project and get to that. So it was like, okay, well, we'll start close to home, and we're going to grow in greenhouses, which, you know, most Native people don't do. We don't eat a lot of greens. You know, a lot of our diet would have been like corn, squash, which is usually in the summer. So we're growing in the off season. So in our greenhouse right now, we've got some spinach, and it tastes so good. We're doing some harvest Japanese turnips, which, you know, since last year, I've never really had. So, I mean, it tastes so good, though. I mean, it's really sweet. And so it's kind of fun to learn new ways of doing things. It's been fun. So through your course, Quinn, you know, really defining my purpose and putting it to the business, it was like, so as farmers, we grow quality vegetables for our local families, inspiring them to be healthy and to feel connected to their ancestors and the descendants of where we come from. So, you know, I'm very thankful that I was able to, like, finally have, like, this is how I would say it in a business way.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of work and experimentation to figure out, okay, what's our mission and how do we say this? But I think what's even more powerful that you explained that I just want to highlight is that your purpose was coming to life in your past job too. Although maybe you weren't as clear about it then, it was still about empowering people to eat healthy foods or to have access to it. And then it kind of took on this new expression when you started Coffee Pot Farms and started your own business. And I think this is a perfect explanation of what I call let your why drive your what. And I think so many people get caught up in this idea that your purpose either has to be one thing and one thing only. And I say that that's not helpful. That's not truthful, because your purpose may be one broad thing, but then it can come to life in so many different ways. Like, it came to life for you in your public job in the county, and now it's coming to life for you in a different way. But it's all around this idea of providing healthy nutrition. And I think that's kind of the broad why that drives your what. And you even mentioned, you know, about Deb Holland. And like, I even know that you were super active in getting all the people on the reservation to vote, right? So do you see that as like almost another expression of just like activism and advocacy for your people? Do you feel like that is another expression of your purpose?
Yeah, it is, because as farmers, again, the land and the water, I feel like those two are the biggest challenges. And it's not like we don't have it. It's just that for whatever reason, the federal government has said, okay, these are the rules that you would have to follow to access those things. And then on top of it, it's like, okay, now that you have it, it's like, okay, well, how do you even get the funding or the capital to be able to put the infrastructure in place? Because, you know, when you asked me the question about how it was scary to start this business, I'm off grid here in my area. I'm 6 miles outside of my community, and, you know, not having the access to the electricity or the running water, we have to put additional infrastructure here in place. And to me, how I would view like the bigger data is that most of the farmers are going to be in that same situation. They're not going to have their animals or their farms near the community. So they're the ones that are not going to have a lot of the access to the electricity or the water. So I feel like that's what is also driving and connecting me to like, how do you make sure that the farmers are going to be there at the table to say, okay, these are our needs. These are the things that we want in place. You know, this is the policy. This is the way it should be written. These are the programs it should be. Because again, I used to be a program person and I thought I knew everything. I thought I knew because I read it in a book. I read it in a, it was the evidence-based way to do something, you know. I mean, that's good and all, but you still have to be able to ask and say, is this going to be okay? And then on top of it, the funding level before it, they have to be like, okay, well, the money needs to be used differently then. So that's why it's important to kind of start looking at it from the advocacy and then also the activism perspective. Because, you know, we want to be here, all of the Native Indigenous people across, you know, the United States want to be here for a long time, you know, and so it's really important. And that work that we did with the voting, it was just not me. There was like a lot of people, you know. I just did that in my small community, but man, a lot of people showed up. It was really cool. It was really cool.
It sounded like it. And I just love that you're kind of explaining the layers that go even beyond your business, and that it's inherently political and also connected to social justice. And, you know, I live in downtown Phoenix, and whereas we don't have the same issues that a rural community would have when it comes to food access, for the longest time, downtown was a food desert as well, which, if you aren't familiar with it, I think it's the USDA. Well, I know you are, but for our listeners, the USDA, when you don't have access within a certain mile radius to fresh food. And my community, for most of the time I was living here, was like that. Now we have a grocery store, we have a Fry's, it's affordable, it's great. But for the longest time, the question of just living my lifestyle and also living car free and that transportation piece that comes with food access just opened me up to this whole new level of understanding food access. And I think what you're talking about is like, well, I can't just be a farmer. I can't just grow amazing vegetables in this cool, you know, greenhouse. I have to be involved in these other layers because those layers are essential to my purpose being created. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yep. That's correct. Many layers. And you just peel it back and it's like, whoa, there's another one. So I just keep asking why.
Right? Why? Yeah. Yeah, I've asked myself that too in the past year. I think, you know, when I share that my mission and my business is to help women like you and like many of the other members in the collective create their purpose, that's inherently a political statement. And I didn't realize it until I really thought about my experience and my community here. And especially because I've been so involved with transportation infrastructure and getting people access to what they need. And then I talk about entrepreneurship, and entrepreneurship is a privilege. You know, I'm sure there's many people in your community, as in my own, that they can't have their own business. They can't create their purpose because they're just trying to survive. And I realized that last year that if I want to help people create their purpose in their business, I need to look at all the layers, both social justice, both advocacy, both on the business level, of how I can bring my own purpose to life to do that. And it is kind of like an onion, like you mentioned, like you peel back one layer and then there's another. And just to learn how to grapple with it and be a vocal advocate of it has been a challenge. And I think it's going to be a lifelong learning challenge as well. So I don't know if you have any tips for me of like learning this, but like, or our listeners, like, how have you navigated being this like public advocate as well as running a business, you know, because the business itself is going to keep you busy on a day-to-day basis. Like, how are you balancing it all? Like, what kind of routines or rituals anchor you in doing all of that?
Oh, wow. That is exactly why I took your course, because I felt like there are many things that I can't say no to when people ask. And I want to, but I can't, because it's, you know, coming from my heart, and I know it's going to connect with the work I'm going to do. And everything that you're going to do, whether you're a business person or community, whoever, your relationships are going to be so important on who you connect. You might not be able to, as an entrepreneur, make your, you know, whatever sale or whatever funding, money, whatever at that moment, but in the future, that's where it's going to count. But in going back to your question of like the course that you've done helped me to really focus in on like my priorities and be able to say, okay, this is what I want to work on. And there's a tool that you had introduced in one of the masterclass, who's the theming days. Yeah. And I've tried to do it before in the past, but it was not with a purpose. There was no, it was just like, oh, okay, I want to do these. And they just jumble and put them on. But once you have that, you say, okay, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to work on. This is my goals. Those are very important to put in place, because then it's going to drive you and move you forward. So the theming days are like, we have like farm days where we, oh, these are the farm days. And then we have a learning day we put aside, because we're going to keep learning what our work is here and how to improve. And then we have a day where we're putting aside to do it like your admin. Any business paperwork, batching, you know, any campaigns. So the other thing that's happening this week is there's a national CSA week, community supported agriculture. So, you know, what I've learned from you is that how to actually show up in a professional way on social media to be able to put out there to the community that, hey, we're going to do this community supported agriculture. And so it was really exciting. I was so happy like when I put all the stuff together using the different tools, and I was able to use the later app and put everything in place. And then I think the first post went out on Sunday, and that same day somebody was like, I want to sign up for your CSA. And so I was like, holy moly, this worked. It worked. So, you know, batching, the theme days, it has worked for me. And so I want to be able to continue doing that. The other thing is, you know, just making sure that we have our action plans and then going back to look at it. So that's the last part of what we're working on, is going back and saying, did this work? And then being nice to ourselves and saying, well, we did take off too much. And so let's scale it back and we'll do this in smaller increments. So action planning has also been helpful.
I'm so happy to hear, especially when you got one post out there, you did your system and it immediately worked. I think there's no better feeling than to put all that time and energy into something and to actually get instant results. It doesn't always happen. It might not happen again for a while, but it's a win and we got to celebrate those things. But I think what you're touching on, and by the way, I think I mentioned, but Sherilyn is a member of my Create Your Purpose Collective. So when she's mentioning the course and all the work, that's the experience that she's going through with all the members of the community. And really what you just tapped on, Sherilyn, was the idea of alignment and how do we harness our time and energy intentionally to actually create our purpose. And I think what happens when a lot of members come into the collective first is they always tell me, I feel all over the place, or I feel like I'm pulled in a million different directions. And I've been there, I'm sure you've been there, and it can be really tough because all you want to do is make progress, yet you feel like you have 100 million things that are your priorities, and you try to do everything, and then you end up doing nothing. And so I think what is so great about how you've talked about these things, like theming your days or batching, is that you're such an experimentation mode, right? Like you're just trying things, you're checking in to make sure that it worked for you, or if it didn't work for you, you're going to try something else. And I think this idea of approaching your business as an experiment and being curious is just so, so, so important. So I would just be interested to also hear a little bit about, it sounds like you mentioned your husband is kind of partner in crime on these batching days and theming. So has he been a really big support for you throughout this? And how do you partner with each other in building coffee pot farms?
Oh, man. My partner is in crime and then we're holding each other accountable. I don't know how that's going to work.
Oh, how is it working so far?
The first 2 months, we did good. You know, one of the things was to kick off the CSA. And then the other part was to really work on our crop plan, because that's going to tie in with our CSA, because we need to know when what we're offering to our customers, you know, that plan needs to be in place. And then we also wanted to work on our health, because I guess we felt like, oh, we don't want to stress out on this. And so we're really trying to be very intentional about, okay, we're going to make sure we do this, eat healthy. My husband usually doesn't like eating vegetables, even though he's a farmer, but don't tell him, but I sneak stuff into his, you know, the curries and all the different stuff, the soups. So he doesn't know he's eating healthy. So he's like, oh, this is pretty good. So those kind of things we're doing. So we are partners in crime and we're also keeping each other accountable.
I love that. It's so important to have someone to do that. And it's hard too, because I think entrepreneurship can often be this really lonely place. I know for me, that's a big reason why I created the Create Your Purpose Collective, was just because I didn't have women to chat with or people who understood where I was at in my business. And I think oftentimes we need both support and accountability, but we also need that inspiration that kind of helps us move forward and be strategic and be intentional, but yet see how other people have done it. Not that we're going to copy it, but that we'll actually know what is possible. And I think that is so powerful and so important, is just to know what is possible. And so I'm curious, with your efforts on social media, you know, you don't often hear a lot of farmers who are active on social media, but you've really taken this up as a major important part of your business and your marketing efforts. So I'm just really interested, how is that going? Can you tell me a bit about your approach and just why this has really been so important to you in your business?
A lot of this has come about because of the pandemic, and everybody was like, okay, you got to pivot. Everything's going to be on social media. You need to make sure you communicate with everybody there. And I was only doing Facebook, and I'm kind of scared of Instagram. I don't have a Twitter account. I'm still kind of scared of Twitter. But with Instagram, that was where I was like, in some of the online workshops, you know, they're talking about getting your information out there to build those relationships with your customers. And so it was, I just needed to find someone who could kind of help me see or help me understand the tools and the ways, I guess the system of how you're supposed to set this up to make sure that you can bring it all together and how that is. And so I think farmers are very innovative. You know, they're always experimenting. They're always doing new things because there's just a lot of things that they do. But you don't see a lot of them on social media because this would be another tool that, you know, maybe it's hard for them to learn, just like it was for me. But once they're able to understand that way of using it, using that tool, I think we would be able to see more of them online. That's kind of how I'm thinking. I'm seeing it in my head. It's like, okay, if there was more people that knew how to do this, I think we would be able to see a lot of us out there.
I agree. And I think, again, it's just one of those other layers, especially for a purpose-driven business. You have to have a means of communicating that message and that purpose to the people that you can most serve. And I think because you have such a deep, really impactful purpose of delivering healthy food to your community that wouldn't otherwise have access, like, social media is key. And I just love that you have been able to really capitalize on that and use it intentionally and build a system to really get that message in front of the people that it can most impact. So I'd love to just kind of end here with a few rapid fire questions. So just a few questions just to give you a quick question. You answer me quickly with whatever comes to mind. So the first rapid fire question is kind of a fun one since it's kind of related to your business. What is your favorite vegetable?
That is hard. I'm going to just say squash.
I think that's
a good squash.
I think that's good. I love squash too, and mushrooms are my favorite. But squash seem to be easier to grow in Arizona, so we'll stick with that one. Okay, rapid fire number two. What is one routine or ritual that keeps you sane?
I'm going to go back to our traditional ceremonies. You know, when I feel like I need to have a ceremony, you know, being able just to reconnect and hear probably songs or... ceremonies.
Yeah, those are such powerful traditions. Okay, rapid number three. What does being a purpose-driven entrepreneur mean to you?
It means being more intentional and taking care of and learning how to take care of yourself so you're not all over the place, not frazzled. I think it really is about having that, like, a focus, like you're just kind of zoomed in to what you want to do and how successful you want to be. And I think that's really important. That is something that I'm learning along this way. Not that I didn't do it before, but it's a different type of purpose. So I like it.
It is. And I think once you start to apply purpose-driven principles to your business, I don't know about you, but I've seen it trickle out into my life, into my relationships, into other parts of my life in general. And I think that's really where the magic is. Rapid fire number, I think, four. What is one main value that guides your life and your business? So for example, for me, curiosity is a really main value of mine. Just because I'm always about how do I do something? How can I experiment? How can I be curious about what comes next? So what is one of your main values?
Creativity. I just want to be able to have the freedom to have, like, how I design maybe the farm, or be creative in the seeds that you're going to plant, be creative in how I am this entrepreneur that's on the journey of, like, okay, I need to make sure that I have money to be able to pay bills. And so that freedom and creativity.
Creativity is one of my values too. So I love that. Last one, what is one book that you'd recommend to listeners that you just have loved?
The book that I would say is this one. Oops, upside down. Build a Story Brand by Donald Miller. This one is, like, really good because you're talking about how to specifically talk to your customers. So I like this one a lot. I would recommend reading that if you're, you know, about finding out what you want to say to your customers and how to say it in a way that it gets their attention.
Yeah, that's a great book. That was actually our last collective book club book. So it's a really good read. Well, thank you so much, Sherilyn. How can everyone find you? Instagram, Facebook, website, what's the best place to connect with Coffee Pot Farms and with you online?
Our Instagram, we're posting every day. Well, we'll post on Monday to Friday. And then on Facebook, we'll be there. We're almost ready to launch our business website, and that would be at coffeepotfarms.com. So we're getting close to getting, you know, launching that. So check us out there as well.
How exciting. Well, thank you so much for being my first Create Your Purpose conversation. I can't wait to tell your story, and just so that people can know, purpose-driven entrepreneurs can be in all different industries, all different types. It's all about, like you said, being intentional about the direction of your business and of your life. And I'm just so grateful to have connected with you to understand your layers of advocacy in your business and how this has just grown from this really beautiful purpose that you personally have. So thank you so much for being here with me, Sherilyn.
Thank you too, Quinn. I mean, I really do appreciate that, you know, you took all of your experience of, you know, of being a lady, a woman, and that's wanting to do this and those challenges and thinking that through to be able to create, you know, this space for a lot of us to know that we're not alone and that there's a way that it can happen, the way you can get things done. So I really, really do appreciate that. So thank you. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Sherilyn Yazzie, the founder of Coffee Pot Farms. Definitely go check her out on Instagram. She's doing some really great things. And I just have loved to hear about her journey of, to really provide more food sovereignty and access to people who don't have that. I know I mentioned in the podcast that downtown Phoenix for a long time was a food desert. And although the situations are very different from where Sherilyn resides, I understand the need for access to fresh, healthy food. And I am so, so grateful that Sherilyn is not just in my collective, but in my life and in my entrepreneurship circle as well. So like I said in the beginning, this was not a perfect recording. I am still sitting on my bathtub, but I'd love to know, what did you think? Do you like this format for me? I love podcasts, but I, for some reason, have never really thought to do my own. And frankly, I don't yet think of this as a podcast. I just think of this as like an audio recording that you happen to be able to listen on your phone, which probably is kind of the same thing. But I wanted to give this a try to put something out there, see what happens, get your feedback. So if you wouldn't mind, just shoot me an email. It's just hello@quinntempest.com. Let me know if you liked this, if you want more, what kind of people you want to hear from. I am a totally open book and I want to create this for you. And as long as we're talking about purpose, as long as we're talking about entrepreneurship and life and business in general, it's really fair game. So thank you so much again for tuning in to Create Your Purpose Conversations or whatever this becomes. I'm going to get off my bathtub because it hurts my butt, but I appreciate you being here. See you next time.